Dems Piker Pickle. Thank you, Politico. Hassan Piker's new role as a midterm surrogate and potential influence on the 2028 presidential race is driving a wedge in the Democratic Party. News first reported in Playbook that the far-left political streamer with millions of followers and a record of what critics like center-left think tank Third Way, I disagree with the center-left label there, call anti-American, anti-women, anti-Western, and anti-Semitic comments, will stump in Michigan with Senate candidate Abdul El-Sayed next month launch an avalanche of criticism from Republicans and Democrats. El-Sayed's opponent, Mallory McMorrow, and Rep. Haley Stevens lambasted El-Sayed, with Stevens telling Jewish Insider, quote, "Someone who's campaigning with somebody like that is not going to win in Michigan," which is really funny to say, as if being openly pro-Israel is going to win you a bunch of Democratic support in Michigan. McMorrow said Piker, quote, "says extremely offensive things in order to generate clicks and views and followers, which is not entirely different from someone like Nick Fuentes," comparing him to the anti-Semite nationalist influencer. This is obviously pathetic and makes you unelectable. Comparing somebody like Hassan Piker with a neo-Nazi is just completely abhorrent and out of the pale and disqualifies you from serious consideration to any kind of office, in my opinion. You know, my personal opinion. But like if you watch me, you know how I feel about Israel, right? It is a fact that anti-Israeli sentiment in the Democratic Party is skyrocketing. Like, it is not uncommon to see young people, I mean young online, like not political actors or whatever, I'm talking like kids on Fortnite or whatever, use the term Israeli as a synonym for bad. Like, that's really common now. This is not only a losing battle for the Democrats specifically, but especially for Democrats that are trying to win the youth vote. Like, this is one of those, I mean, it's going to end up being a 90-10 issue pretty soon. It's not even an 80-20. Among young Democrats, it pretty much already is a 90-10 issue. So it is a fact that Democrats are moving away from Israel. And it seems like a lot of Democratic candidates, rather than doing the typical thing that you would do, which is cynically kowtow to their interests, but then kind of like, you know, waver on them once you're in office, right? You'd expect that on a lot of issues. They'll be like, yeah, fuck Israel. Then they get into office and they start funding the Iron Dome. Instead, they are committing suicide over this issue. Like, they are insisting, no, we're not budging even slightly. We refuse to accommodate the demands and preferences of our constituency. Now, please vote for us or you're an anti-Semite. This article in Politico is referencing this one, which I think has a bit more of a punchy title. Both are by Adam Wren. Why some Democrats want to shut off Hassan Piker's megaphone. And what's happening right now, I mean, I've seen versions of this before, but this is probably the most coordinated effort I've seen of Democratic candidates and PACs and so on attacking him. And by the way, they're not attacking Hassan here. Hassan is just a avatar for anti-Israeli sentiment in the party. Zionists love to do this. They love to, well, as the Israelis would put it, mow the grass. They go after the tallest stalks, you know? The whole point here isn't to specifically cancel Hassan. It's to make it clear that no tolerance will be given to any kind of criticism of Israel. You can't be anti-Israel and be in the Democratic Party. That's their point, you know? He is pretty tall. He is pretty tall. That is true. They were begging for a leftist Joe Rogan, or like a Democratic Joe Rogan for a while ago. The problem is that, like, okay, Joe Rogan's maybe a bad example because he's a massive cuck to the Republican Party and will say whatever he thinks makes him the most money. But you can't actually have a Democratic version of Joe Rogan who doesn't hate Israel. There's just no version of that. Israel is just incredibly odious and evil. Not like they should be evidently evil, even to people who are just banal liberals, because they've completely tanked the perception of there being an international rules-based order. Like, they wipe their ass with the law. They're openly contemptuous. They hate America. They insult us as we give them billions of dollars in assistance. It's never enough. They drag us into conflicts. They're the most ungrateful fucking quote-unquote allies, and they've never done a single thing for us. They never do anything for us. Not at all. We're always doing things for them. The only thing they do for us is position regional American power against Iran, and they were going to do that anyway because they already want to conquer half the region. There's just no version of a Democratic Joe Rogan, or honestly, of any kind of like remotely left of center populist or youth-based movement that is not rooted in some way in opposition to Israel. And, you know, there are lots of governments out there that are also really bad. It's not just Israel. Turkey's pretty bad. Azerbaijan's pretty bad. Armenia's pretty bad. Saudi Arabia's pretty bad. There are lots of bad countries. countries out there, but Israel is the only country that gets this level of deference. You can be flippantly insulting towards England or France or Spain or Germany. You can be flippant about any country on earth. It is Israel specifically that gets you this behavior. Or to put it another way, like I have seen many people make plenty of derisive comments about the British or the French. I have never seen it lead to this. It is specifically Israel that cannot be criticized. And everyone who's young knows this. It's just a fact. You have to be old and out of touch to not understand this dynamic. So, like, which way, democratic man? Do you ignore this truth and just continue to walk directly into a wall, stumbling over and over again? Do you want the Democrats to be like the Labour Party, where after a bunch of unsuccessful attempts by the Tories to rule the country, now Keir Starmer has, like, an approval rating of negative 8%, leading the way for a reform victory? Or do you want Democrats who actually do something? Piker's rise as a Democratic influencer and surrogate coincides with the party's long search for a path out of the wilderness, particularly in recapturing young men. Piker is scheduled to appear in a live stream Choose Your Fighter rally organized by Hey! I know those guys. Progressive Victory at 6:30 p.m. Rep. Ro Khanna is among the list of attendees. Maine Democratic Senate candidate Graham Platner was originally billed as a participant, but he pulled out of the event. It was a communication error. Oh, it says that right here. A person familiar told Politico Platner's planned appearance was a miscommunication. Such is life. And on Sunday, Piker will rally with Bernie Sanders at a Tax the Rich rally. Taxing the rich? Can we even do that? That's crazy. The question over Piker's prominence also comes as both the Republican and Democratic parties ask fundamental questions about how big their tent should be. Again, like any tent for the Democrats that does not include people who are anti-Israel does not include a majority of the Democratic constituency. And if you're counting young people specifically, more than a majority. Well, I guess not more than a majority, but more than 50%, certainly. Do with that what you will. In an interview with Politico, Piker downplayed accusations that have been leveled against him, like center-left think tank Third Way, whose leaders wrote in a Wall Street Journal op-ed that Piker had a history of anti-American, anti-women, anti-Western, anti-Semitic comments. Piker said Third Way was losing their institutional relevance. That's fucking true. He also said he's merely channeling, not changing, the attitudes of the Democratic base. That's half true, certainly, when it comes to being disdainful towards Israel. You are, or he is, channeling that attitude. Also, there's nothing wrong with changing the opinions of the Democratic base. I guess I reject the premise that there's anything wrong with being influential. I would argue that with regard to issues like, taxing the wealthy or opposing Israel, any change that Hassan presses onto the Democratic base would be one for good. Therefore, it should be celebrated. That is how politics works, you know? Democrats often like to pretend that people's political beliefs are unchanging, and the most a representative can possibly do is adjust their beliefs to accommodate the positions of the media. Except, I guess, for Israel, in which case all of a sudden we no longer believe in popularism. Piker is close to, but not over, the Nick Fuentes line, where going on his show itself is indefensible. Third Way co-founder Matt Bennett, who's been sounding the alarm about Democrats' affliction with Piker, affiliation, not affliction, told Politico. Bennett added that Democrats, quote, take on all his baggage if they don't overtly reject him. This kind of woke one style, virtue signaling, gatekeeping, purity testing bullshit is how you destroy a political party. It's absolutely insane. They're still trying to pull this stuff. If Hassan Piker is beyond the pale, then the party's done. It's so lazy. Well, yeah, because it's what they do in lieu of making an actual argument, you know? Which he said is dangerous because it empowers the right and gives them an incredibly powerful tool to hit Democrats with that's very bad. What could you possibly hit Democrats with over from the right for their affiliation with Hassan? You know? What, like, genuinely, what would you... Oh, 9/11. What are you going to do here? Third Way is dying and this is their death throes? Yeah, but the interests that Third Way represents are not dying. Unfortunately, their positions on this issue specifically are held by a significant number of Democratic politicians. Politico surveyed 14 potential 2028 Democratic presidential candidates, asking whether they would appear in a live stream with Piker if invited. Only three definitely said they would. That is insane. In an age where Democrats are incredibly unpopular, and they have failed to secure what, I mean, you would expect they would get in the youth vote, especially after 2024. Only three out of 14 saying they would appear on the live stream of the most popular, leftist content creator who is very popular with young people is insane. Cory Booker, Ruben Gallego, and Alyssa Slotkin said they wouldn't go on Piker's stream through spokespeople. Mr. Piker's terrible comments about Jewish people, 9/11, and other areas aren't the kind of conversations Cory participates in, and he will not be joining him on a stream, an aide to Booker told Politico. Keep in mind, Political is right-wing Trumpist media. Yes, also Epsteinite, no? Oh, no, sorry. Atlantic is the one where the owner was friends with Ghislaine Maxwell. This is the one where the owner is an insane non-Jewish Zionist, far-right friend of Trump. Yeah, no, I'm aware. Keep in mind, they would all appear on Fox News and give me the opportunity. Yep, absolutely, 100%. Who would appear in Piker's streams? Ro Khanna, of course, California Governor Gavin Newsom, and Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel is funny, and Governor Newsom is desperate for attention. Booker didn't have any issue meeting with Netanyahu. Mm-hmm. Aides to Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and Andy Beshear declined to comment, no doubt. Aides to former Vice President Kamala Harris, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, and Mark Kelly, Maryland Governor Wes Moore, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker did not respond. Pritzker might, maybe. Gavin Newsom would come onto the stream if an aide gave him data saying it would help him. Yeah. Did you see that interview clip? I didn't even see this. I saw another clip from this interview. This one's worse than the previous chunk that I saw. It's crazy. Where he says he doesn't have a problem with the abduction of Maduro, nor with the regime change in Cuba.
Should the U.S. try to bring democracy to Cuba?
I appreciate in one respect that the Trump administration sort of approaching things because of opportunistic situation regarding Venezuela, that there, this quasi-blockade has created conditions where now we have 51 prisoners that have been released, that we're having a different conversation with the leadership, that we're negotiating a different framework from a different position of strength.
So how is he so bad at this? I'm telling you guys, his original plan was to run as a Republican. When he launched his podcast and then started having on and agreeing with conservatives, his plan was to reposition himself as a common sense conservative and an antidote to like Trumpist hysteria. He probably would have gone with that were it not for the fact that things didn't pan out the way that he wanted. Now he's going to run as a Democrat.
Appreciate and admire at least a willingness to iterate. But look, this is this. You talk about a dictator.
By the way, again, like a reminder of my contention here. My problem here is not that Governor Newsom opposes the Cuban regime. I think the Cuban regime is very ineffective and cruel to its citizens. The problem here is not that he isn't pro-Maduro. I'm not pro-Maduro, and I never have been. The problem is he's not liberal. He's not, this is illiberal. The idea of America invading Cuba and forcing regime change, the idea of us just kidnapping a sovereign, the head of state, that's illiberal. It goes against the idea of the international rules-based order that is the cornerstone of post-World War II liberal geopolitics. If you think you can solve every problem in the world by just invading, killing, and kidnapping whenever you like, that is, it's illiberal by definition.
That have been released, that we're having a different conversation with the leadership, that we're negotiating a different framework from a different position of strength. So I appreciate and admire at least a willingness to iterate. But look, this is this. You talk about a dictatorship.
Right.
You're talking about Maduro. No love lost for Maduro. You're talking about a dictatorship. You're talking about the leadership in Cuba today.
Yeah.
So pursuing those values, absolutely.
Like, look at that. Easiest thing in the world. No, I don't support invading Cuba. Invading, like, that's what we're talking about. He said bringing democracy to Cuba. You know what that fucking means, okay? It's a euphemism that we've been using for decades. We used it in Iraq in 2003. Insane, but he can't even do that. He can't even say that. How democratic is Venezuela now? Much so, I'm sure. And it just pisses me off, man. Would you support Al Gore in 2028 if he ran? Al Gore is genuinely, like, leagues better than every fucking Democrat today. I don't know. I'd have to like hear him talk about the modern world, I guess, and see how cucked he is to Israel. But, you know, I mean, by and large, yeah, the Democratic Party has absolutely gotten more, I wouldn't say reactionary because their official stances on gay and trans, you know, rights have advanced. I would say like they've gotten more cynical and they've gotten less interested in advancing a progressive or liberal agenda. You know, they become more capitulatory towards capital. Capitulative or capitulatory? Probably capitulatory. Yeah, nasty stuff. Smoking that Al Gore pack right now? He'll be saying I told you so when this country sinks into the goddamn ocean. You know, not to ride any coattails, but it's kind of Hassan's hour a little bit lately, huh? Here he is out of the No Kings protest. There's a big old kerfuffle in the Democratic Party right now over him.
Hi. Who are you?
Who's the racist?
Who are you?
Just a random guy.
Thank God for the captions.
I'm a political commentator.
And how do you profess it?
I see you.
on Twitch is a website. You're on it now too.
Oh, okay.
And you're also on CNN.com.
And you're also on CNN. Love you too. Thank you for being here.
Why did you show up today? Why did you come here today? Do you think the Democratic Party meeting the moment?
No.
I was about to ask the same question. You don't think so?
The Democratic Party is meeting the moment?
Yeah.
No.
How do you like Zohran Mamdani?
I love him.
That's awesome. Hell yeah. Nice to meet you.
Okay. I'll have to look out for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Who do you think would win in a fight? Did you see that dipshit weirdo pestering Rep. Summer Lee for doing an event with Hassan? Yeah, it's the problem is that right now, the Democrats are obviously going to sweep in the midterms. Dissatisfaction with the Republicans and the Democrats alike, it means that the tent is opening to... Oh, hello, Bagheera. Normally, you don't jump up on the PC. The tent is opening to challengers within the Democratic Party, right? Like, the tent is opening to progressives. People are really unhappy with the Dems right now, as they should be. So the more sensitive to change, that's a polite way of putting it, third way centrist types in the Democratic Party are really alert and wary of the possibility of people like Hassan pushing for like a leftward front within the party. So right now they're doing that whole like 2020, no Bernie Sanders, you shouldn't go on Joe Rogan bullshit again, where they're pressuring Democratic candidates into not speaking with Hassan because he's anti-Semitic or whatever.